Welcome back, everybody, to another day of trading on the floor of Dynasty Wall Street. Russ, John, Travis here again to use DynastyTradeCalculator.com and all of its calculating and ranking goodness to help you get a jump on your league mates, to help you win your leagues, lose your leagues, whatever makes you happy. And as what has seemed to be the usual goings lately, we are jumping right into some shenanigans of the QB variety. Travis, what do you got for us this week? Well, first you should take yourself off mute. There you go.
Yeah, so I think last week I got a little crazy with some running back stuff, but then I was quickly reminded that you guys don't care about running backs. So I was like,
very quickly, yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to try this again. But next week, I'm going to come back with some quarterback stuff because you guys actually like that position. You guys think it's actually worth investing in and looking into beyond just, hey, am I scoring points right now? Otherwise, you know, that I don't care at all. So yeah, quarterback position in the NFL. Actually, first off, I feel like a lot of people believe that there's like a quarterback problem in the NFL right now. Are you guys of the mind that that is the case? Or are you guys, like, what's your opinion on that overarching view?
I think a lack of depth. A couple, you know, for a while. I don't think there's necessarily a problem. I think this is more the reality of the situation. You're not often going to have an NFL with 32 good starting quarterbacks. And I mean, honestly, that's the way it should. Like, it'd be great for the sport if there were 32 phenomenal people playing quarterback for the individual teams, but it's not reality. We just got spoiled with like Drew Brees, Tom Brady, you know, Philip Rivers hanging around for 36 years for their careers. So like there was time for the influx of younger players. And now that our older players are getting hurt more, it seems, I know that's happenstance, like that's coincidence, but, and we happen to have some bad young quarterbacks coming in, you know, drafted early. It feels that way, but I don't think it's any worse than it's been in the past however many years I've been playing fantasy football. Like, I don't think there's a problem. I just don't think it's great.
Yeah. John, you the same page or no?
It's the same as it always is. People just romanticize like, oh, back when Tom Brady and Peyton Manning were around, there was so many quarterbacks. No, trust me. I was a Bengals fan back then.
There were some bad quarterbacks back then.
Like, it's been the same. Like, there's some extremely good elite level quarterbacks. Yeah. And there's like, okay, that guy's fine. Like, you know, whatever. And then there's really, really bad quarterbacks to get replaced after, you know, 5 or 6 games. Like, I mean, this is how it is. I don't know.
I think that's the bigger picture that people think it makes things worse. Teams are just more likely and willing to replace quarterbacks now. So the stability is gone. The days of Andy Dalton getting, you know, a 6-year extension are gone.
I couldn't use him as the example because he was a good thing in Cincinnati because he at least got them to the playoffs. Like, it was Dave Klingler. Well, like,
actually, hey,
John Kitten was fun to watch, but you know, he's not bringing it to the playoffs.
I'm not gonna attack John right now. So I'll leave the Bengals quarterback.
Oh, I don't mind alone. Bengals
being, and I don't have any room to talk as a Titans fan. But anyway,
very true.
Moving on. So With the quarterback position right now, I'm on the same page. I really, realistically, if you look at most Dynasty Trade Calculator resources, which we do, and the landscape of fantasy football and super flex leagues, there's about like 22-ish quarterbacks that seem to be valued fairly highly. Like, if you look at the and this will actually speak to my first question here, but if you look to like what a first round, like a random first round pick this year is worth, or even like a random first next year, and that's where we're going with shenanigans is worth. Like, there's 22 guys who are more valuable than like a mid first round pick, essentially. So I do want to just kind of make sure we're on the same page with the value here, because then I'm going to throw some names and some future picks in the mix and see what you guys would prefer, because I'll get into the nature of the next couple of classes and what those are projected to look like right now as well. Because I wonder how that impacts how we view this incoming rookie class. So this year, it's kind of assumed, we talked about it on the show, like, you know, like 4 quarterbacks are probably going inside the top 8, 9. Would you guys agree? 8 or 9 picks based on what we know in terms of what. So we got Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy. those guys are all surefire in that range. But mid first round pick, like let's call it the let's see here, let's go with the 1.09, like right on that
range. You have to start for what we would used to think is mid because of
what what this class is. You're right. So 1.09 or Bryce Young, because I know we talked about him before, but this is going to get to where I'm going.
I'd take Bryce Young.
The first eight went perfectly scripted.
Yes.
Yeah, so we've got the four quarterbacks. We've got Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, Brock Bowers. So on the board, you have
– the second tier of wide receiver or Bryce Young.
Or the RB1.
Yeah. No, I'm not looking at that. I promise you that is not in the cards. I was clear with what I'm looking at. I don't feel like I should have to invest that much to get Bryce Young right now, but the answer is probably like Bryce Young. Like I'm not completely out of him, and I think you can get him for cheaper. So I would rather go that route. But obviously, it's always rather cheaper. 109 feels expensive.
Yeah, because he's actually just barely worth a little bit more according to the calculator, but it's close. The only other one that's kind of in this no man's land of like right on the fringe, based on the Dynasty Trade calculator, is Deshaun Watson, and that's one I'm not sure what to do with myself. So I same question, 1.09 or Deshaun Watson.
I just have no interest in Deshaun Watson, so I'll take the 109.
I think I have Deshaun Watson probably right about the same place as Bryce Young. Like I think 2024 is going to be a prove it year for both of those quarterbacks.
Yeah, because it's been a while. One off field stuff that no one really wants to have on the roster anyway. But two, practically speaking, like he hasn't been elite. No. He hasn't been the same guy in a while.
He does have the contract working for him. Like he's got that. Like, but I mean, we saw Denver. I thought Russell Wilson had the contract thing working for him too. He didn't, or he did, but Denver still said
we don't care. They could get out without drowning, they got out.
So I mean, I don't know when that point is for Cleveland, that it might just be a complete bite the bullet. I know Watson's contract is ridiculous, but every year it gets slightly less ridiculous. So I guess I'll take Watson.
Okay.
Grudgingly take Watson.
I think I probably prefer the 109 there. And it's because of, I wouldn't want to roster him anyway, but two, I'm not sure what we're getting. And three, I'm not sure they don't find a way to just bite the bullet sooner than we think contract structure wise. So we'll see what they do. If there's any kind of reworking, and then there's guaranteed money, but
if he's bad this year, they're going to tell him just to go away.
They're going to figure out something. Like what we just saw with Russell Wilson,
not be here.
Might get one upped just a year after. So, that's my concern there. But there's a big group of quarterbacks after this that some of them are starting, some of them might be starters. But what's interesting is right now the 11, like the 11th pick in rookie drafts this year is the equivalent of a mid 2025 first in the calculator. And that's interesting to me. And I think it's properly adjusting because the perception of next year's rookie class, 2025, we hinted at that last year. It's not great at the quarterback position. There's no consensus. Like we don't have in college football a returning Caleb Williams. You know, last year it was like we knew a year ahead of time, this guy's the first pick in next year's draft. And honestly, we don't even have a Drake May returning. Like, and we don't even have a 1B to a 1A. Like, there's nobody in that conversation. There are a few quarterbacks that people want to put in the conversation that shouldn't be there. Like, Shedeur Sanders is a name that people know. Now, Quinn Ewers might get there if he takes another step. Drew Aller is definitely not that guy. Carson Beck might be safe, but is certainly not the profile that you typically put up in that conversation at all. And there's several others. I mean, Jackson Dart. Like, I mean, he could take a step. He was in a fun offensive scheme. Jackson Dart being Ole Miss. I'm saying these names like people know who these guys are.
I know one of those names. So
Drew Aller is Penn State. He's a five-star guy. Shedeur Sanders, he's Deion Sanders' son. But Quinn Ewers is the quarterback at Texas. He's got a fantastic system around him. But so all these guys that project as, I don't know, right now, if you did a mock draft, none of them would be top 10 picks. Like, that wouldn't be the middle outcome for any single one of them. So given that's the case, we're probably going to see one or two step up. So somebody's going to have their Jaden Daniels season. But my question, where I'm headed is, like, Matthew Stafford is worth less than, like, a late first this year. Baker Mayfield.
That's the route I'd rather go.
Yeah, like Kirk Cousins is worth less than a late first this year and a random.
I would think Kirk Cousins over Deshaun Watson and Bryce Young.
That's exactly where I'm going. Like, there's an entire tier here. There's Matthew Stafford, Baker Mayfield, Kirk Cousins, and then you get into like QB5 and 6 this year, Michael Penix and Bo Nix, who probably profile as good as many of the guys next year, but they're going to be going in the second round this year. There's like a huge group there, and so my question is like. Mid first is out of the question because you can go in other directions. But let's say there's a late projected 2025 first for somebody who's a competitive team. A late 2025 first. I kind of want you guys to rank a late 2025 first, knowing the reality that is the 2025 class not being able to necessarily have a one-to-one at all, get anywhere near the late first. That is not happening. Like, this year, we might have one sneak there. That's not happening. And it's going to be a trash option if you try to reach. So knowing that that's the case next year, late first, 2025, or ranking Matthew Stafford, Baker Mayfield, and Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I would give up my 2025 first for not necessarily Baker. I would definitely give it up for Cousins, like real easily. But, and that's, you know what? I think I reversed my 109 stance because I didn't put in the contingency of I'd rather go the other way. But this is why I would rather go the other way. If I can get Cousins for that and save the 109 to use on a wide receiver, that's the much better route to go. Like,
so just go ahead and move your 2025, but keep your 109 this year.
Yeah. If I'm looking for a quarterback, that's the route that I would rather go. Cause I don't think Bryce Young or Deshaun Watson is worth the 109 to me. I think Kirk Cousins is worth a 2025 first to me pretty easily, honestly.
And it's funny. Like, if you just ask somebody straight up, I don't think they're like, oh yeah, Kirk Cousins first automatically. But if you think about the reality of the quarterback situation and you don't have one of those first 8 picks this year, and this is why I want to have this shenanigans conversation, because we're doing a lot of projecting. And it sounds silly to some to project out this far with quarterback classes, but we're not going to have the depth of this year's class. So if you just see Kirk Cousins, yes, but the tier of like Mayfield, like Baker Mayfield or Stafford, same conversation or different?
Cousins, easy. Cousins, yes. I'm going to put a 25 first above Baker and Stafford. Baker felt better than he really kind of was just because of what he was before last year. Like, I just pulled up scoring from last season and points per game, Stafford and Baker are next to each other, 19.85 and 19.75. Like, they pretty much had the exact same season, except that Stafford missed a game. I was let down with the amount of Stafford shares I have of him pulling in less than 20 points per game, especially with what Puka was doing and then getting cut back. I was underwhelmed with his performance, though. I mean, he finished QB 16 points per game, which, how much more do you expect out of Stafford at this point? But if that's the case, I'm still gonna keep a first above that level, because that is super replaceable.
I'll give you the whole list of what we've talked about. So I've got the 109 first now.
Okay.
Then Cousins, then a 2025 first. Stafford, Young, it's really close. This would be team dependent. So like, if I want
25 first over Bryce Young,
it depends. If I really need the quarterback, or if I'm rebuilding, which is why I would go for Young over Stafford, I'd rather just have the pick and figure it out next year, because there's a chance I can get him for less during the season if he has a bad game or two. So, 2025 first, Stafford, Young, those two are basically interchangeable for me, depending on where my team is. If I have Stafford on a bad team, I would love to turn him into Bryce Young. If I have Bryce Young on a good team, I would love to turn him into Matt Stafford. and go for it this year. And then I have Watson just barely above Baker. And that's only because I think like 2026, there's probably a better chance for Watson to be continuing to start. So that would be my list top to bottom of everything that we.
That is interesting. So Young versus the 20s, because the 2025 first, again, even if it's a mid first, we're probably talking about a quarterback that doesn't profile anywhere near even what we believe Bryce Young is right now.
Yeah. Like if
I'm still nervous though, and I don't trust the organization 100%.
So. That's the biggest part though. They have made the right steps, but yeah, like if I'm rebuilding and I have the 25 first of a team that like made it to the second round of the playoffs this past year and not fluky, like their team is actually good, I would absolutely consider sending that 25 first to go get Bryce Young. I'd rather not do it
while I'm rebuilding, because I don't want to make my 2025 first better or worse.
I'm just saying the value of it all.
Yeah.
You know, assuming maybe you could still throw him on your taxi squad.
Sure.
Kirk Cousins, I would send a random 25 first, especially if I'm a competing team. I have my 25 first. I would easily send 25 first for Kirk Cousins. So 109. Then, like John said, Bright. I would have Young or Cousins, depending on the situation of my team. 25 first, Stafford, Baker, Watson. I think that was everyone.
Wow, you Baker above Watson. You really dislike
him. I literally have zero interest in Watson.
Yeah. I don't think I roster him really anywhere, but
okay. And then beyond that, like the QB5 and QB6 this year seem to be consensus Bo Nix and Michael Penix. Would you even put those two guys up in the conversation with a Watson or Mayfield? No.
If they go top of the second to a team that it looks like they can start in a year, I'll start having that conversation. But still, these guys are starting right now, so I probably still have them above them. But like right now, even though there's a lot of weird stuff about Nix going top 15 or something,
not happening.
Yeah, I hope not, just for football's sake. But still, I need to wait and see how the draft plays out before I'm willing to raise them anywhere worthwhile.
They're probably career backups, and they're the guys NFL teams love to have in there, just in case. Like you know, the starter gets injured, they come in, they play a few games. I think they both get starts in their NFL careers. I don't think either of them is an NFL long term starter.
Yeah,
like if
I do love that,
turn it to Gardner Minshew, I think everyone would be thrilled. Like,
I do love the fact that they're both ranked higher in the calculator than Daniel Jones, and both.
And true starter Tommy DeVito needs to be higher anyway. So,
but truthfully, one of them very well could be on the Giants to replace.
Yes.
Daniel. Yeah.
I mean, like, and it's funny. Like Joe Shane is, you know, they're like, oh yeah, we have so many other needs besides quarterback. We all these people think we're going to take quarterback early. I'm like, bro, you've met like with quarterbacks on 15 official private occasions. Like no other position is even half that, and that's wide receiver.
Beyond that, maybe just scouting for his fantasy drafts.
I guess.
If you've ever paid attention to the Giants, just got to look to see who does well in the Senior Bowl.
Like for acting like that, they're not interested in quarterbacks. They're acting like they're interested in quarterbacks.
Yeah, and so, like if one of them ends up there, they probably get like two or three starts. They switch back to Daniel Jones. We switch back. They end up splitting the year and then resetting at the end of the year afterwards anyway, saying, well, neither of those guys is the right guy.
The quarterbacks ranked below Nix and Penix should be starting over Daniel Jones. But anyway, we can move on to – we can move on. I wanted to mix in some shenanigans looking forward to 2025. We don't have to hurt people's ears talking about 2026, and everyone would just be out. Mostly people would just be like, Arch Manning, even though, you know,
hasn't even beat out Quinn Ewers yet.
He's not even going to play this year. So anyway.
Yeah.
We can move on from quarterback, but I was just curious because there's this time of year again, like there's always the opportunity and conversations about, you know, what do I do with that?
He'd be getting a ton of NIL money at Texas, right? Otherwise, he'd be in a different school.
Yes, but also he doesn't really need it, probably. You know, so he's getting back.
He wasn't willing to put his likeness in the NCAA football game.
Yeah, yeah.
So
nor should he, unless he's getting paid to make it worth it.
Well, he would be at this point. All right. So what running back are we talking about, John?
All right. I think last time I brought running back, I brought Zach Moss. Let's go a different route.
Yeah, that's gross, dude.
Let's talk about an old running back, a 27-year-old.
Oh, come on. Come on. I'm 34 right now. Don't do that to me, John. Come on.
Sorry. 27-year-old running back that comes in worth the 105. Christian McCaffrey. But I'm not asking you if you're going to give the 105 for him. What I'm going to suggest, you just won your championship. So you're sitting there at the 112. Guess what it takes to move from the 112 to the 105? It takes the 112 and your 2025 first. So would you make that move, give up your 2024 112 plus your 25 first to add Christian McCaffrey to your championship team? Or you could go up and get the 105 and get probably the second wide receiver off the board. Malik Nabers, most likely, I'm going to assume.
I would absolutely do either of those.
Yes, but which one would you do? You have to make this decision now, Russ.
No, what I'm going to do is, assuming that two different managers have McCaffrey in the 105, I'm sending both in whichever accepts. I'm thrilled.
You're letting somebody else decide.
That is literally what I do for life. Yes, I'm letting someone else make decisions for
me. Oh, my gosh.
Who's getting the offer first? Which offer are you sending first in case it's smash accepted, Russ? You have to pick one of them to send first.
Oh, I mean, it's me. I'm going to send the 105 first with the hopes of getting Nabers because it's a young wide receiver. So, of course. But, you know, I wish I could remember what I sent an offer out for McCaffrey this morning, actually. And I wish I could remember where and what it was. But like, I'm again, like, I don't want Jordan Addison in the 208 for Christian McCaffrey. Just hoping that this guy wants to rebuild and take a young wide receiver. But I don't want to buy wide receivers pretty much ever, but if I'm going to, it's going to be Christian McCaffrey. So I'm willing to buy running backs.
Yeah. Travis.
Yeah, I guess he is kind of the exception.
Yeah.
I enjoy points, and like you Russ, yeah, you like however you enjoy, like if you like enjoy winning your leagues or losing your leagues, you know, I don't know how many people that enjoy losing their leagues, but a good way to do it is by not pursuing Christian McCaffrey when you have the opportunity.
Yep.
So I think I'll prefer McCaffrey, but I guess, yeah, I don't know which package I would rather part with. Was that really the angle? Or
yeah, basically, because I think when if you earned the 105. Your team might not be in the position to go out and invest in a running back.
Yeah.
But the fact that it literally equals the 112 and the in a 25 first, that is the perfect scenario to go and add Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, I think given what I know about next year's class as well, I'm fine with it. I can recoup a first if I really want to next year. There's a lot of time to kind of maneuver my way around to do that. So I think I would rather, even though it's weird, because the 105 this year is just worth so much more than like any random 2025 next year. And we're talking about the potential of getting Marvin Harrison Jr. Even if something crazy happens, or Malik Nabers, if something crazy, you know, it's like nothing would even have to be crazy to land Malik Nabers or like the quarterback 2 or 3 for you. You know, it's just, I'd much rather have the 5 this year than like the last pick this year, which is like maybe the running back 1 in a bad class, or the wide receiver 6, 7. I don't, and then like next year, which has a good trio, or like maybe 4 or 5 good wide receivers, some really intriguing running backs, but again, they're running backs who aren't Christian McCaffrey.
I can even say that I would make this trade to go get Christian McCaffrey, and then I'll even add in the cost of trading back into this draft at like the 203 to go get a wide receiver I want for the fun of it. Like if I'm sad, I'm missing out on the 112, I'll get a wide receiver in the same tier at the 204. And whatever it takes me to trade into the 204, I would absolutely do it also. Like if I'm FOMOing these wide receivers, like that's how much I would just want Christian McCaffrey.
I'm going back to back in my league, baby. I'm giving up the 112 this year, and my 2025 first after I had McCaffrey, it's gonna be the 112 next year.
Exactly.
Like, this is so easy, folks. We are a running back loving show.
if that running back is either Christian McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley
or Bijan.
I wanted that. I wanted to just gauge where we were on Christian McCaffrey, because I am still going to continue to add him. I am always looking for Christian McCaffrey on bad teams, because if they want to discard that old running back, sure, I will take Christian McCaffrey. He is a running back exception for me. So I'm easily giving up the 112 and the 25 first. I do think it's a little bit harder if I am the 105. And like I said, I earned it. Because yeah. then I'm sitting there staring Malik Nabers in the face and going, yeah. Oh, you can probably help my team more over the next 2 to 3 years than what I expect. Christian McCaffrey 100% can still help my team for the next 2 to 3 years as well. There's a higher likelihood that the wide receiver probably helps.
I'd have to be in a very good spot, like losing Joe Burrow and other player that got hurt last year. And that maybe I would give up the 105 to get McCaffrey. Like that very specific situation where something happened, you know.
You didn't earn it. You unlucked into it.
Yeah.
Bad lucked into it.
But otherwise, yeah, if I earn the 105, I want all the neighbor shares I can get.
Yeah, I think that's where I come out. All right, well, let's do a little bit of a list. It's not all running backs, because I think Christian McCaffrey comes in at like 2, 3, 4 for all of us, somewhere in that range. So it's a little less exciting. I mean, Bijan's above him, and then he's kind of in a mix with Breece Hall and Jahmyr Gibbs, right? Anybody have another running back anywhere else that they would throw above him?
Nope.
No.
Okay. All right. We do have two running backs on the list, though, because they were close and I'm curious. So we have AJ Brown. We have Devin Achane and Chris Olave and Jonathan Taylor.
All right. I wasn't listening. You need to say the list again.
All right. So we have Christian McCaffrey. He's the running back we're talking about. Jonathan Taylor, Chris Olave, AJ Brown, Devin Achane.
It's an interesting group. So AJ Brown, Devin Achane, or Devon Achane, Chris Olave, Jonathan Taylor.
All right, that's pretty easy for me. I'm going to go AJ Brown first because I like AJ Brown and I'm a sucker for wide receivers.
Yep.
And plus, he's still only 26. He's very, very good. And I love that the Eagles just extended Devonta. Like that, them two work very well together. I'm fine with that. Christian McCaffrey second, Chris Olave third, JT fourth, Achane fifth, which I get it. JT's technically old at this point, and Achane's the young new hotness, but like I need to see him survive a season and do close to what he did for the games he was healthy for before I can value him. Like he's like RB5-ish a lot of places, and it's too much for me right now. But yeah, like that was my order, and I feel like I got there pretty easily.
Crap, dude. We just had the same order. I was like, I'm pretty sure the highest on Achane among people that I talk to frequently. And I am like out at his current at his current value. It's like he is in the calculator. He's over Chris Olave. And so that's a little bit much for, I know he's ridiculously fast. And like his efficiency was like, we've never even seen a running back be that efficient essentially. But
has anyone seen real life Achane trades to see if he goes for these values? Because I know I drafted a lot of Achane because I had a lot of like 110, 111, 112s and had no idea what to do with them. So I just took the running back that went to Miami because that just made sense. And now I'm sitting here with him on my team and I can't move any of them because I want RB5-6 prices for them and no one is coming close to that.
Yeah, I think that's
depends on what you think the RB5-6 is worth.
Yeah.
You're probably thinking that it's worth something that it more than it should be.
Oh,
or you want you want others to think that it should be worth more than what it should
be. I want what other people think the RB5-6 should be worth, and they're not even paying that because you know us. The mode I think the RB5-6 is worth is much less than what it probably really is.
It's like the wide receiver 27.
Yeah, something like that.
Somewhere around that range. My list, I actually think I have Christian McCaffrey first. Like I've got him on I've got him on so many teams that I love being able to put him in my starting lineup.
It's tough. I get it,
totally easy. Like I love AJ Brown and I think my Chris Olave love knows no bounds and
well known, well known,
well established that I love him. I can find receivers to start a little bit easier, I think. In a lot of my leagues, I only have to start one running back, and good God, it feels great when that running back is Christian McCaffrey. And then I just throw in like five or six wide receivers in all these flex spots. That is my preferred way to submit a starting lineup. Give me a great quarterback, an okay quarterback, a Christian McCaffrey, a bunch of wide receivers, and Travis Kelce at tight end or Kyle Pitts at tight end. Boom. That's my starting lineup most of the time. And it seems to be effective. So because of that, I think I put Christian McCaffrey first.
I get it.
It's weird. It's a running back. It's gross.
I will say the only reason I put AJ Brown first is because I know I've been in the situation doing mock drafts. I would take AJ Brown over Christian McCaffrey in a startup. And that's literally what made me choose AJ Brown first.
I would probably do the same thing in the startup, honestly. An established team, though, it's a little bit different for me. But in a startup, I could see your argument.
That was the tipping point. That's why I put Brown first. Yeah.
I would probably draft the wide receiver for running back in the startup because I just won't draft the running backs. I'll just skip them. AJB just slightly over Olave. I mean, you would not have to add much of anything for me to take Olave over AJ Brown. Like, you give me Olave and
come on, give a shout out back to Kane.
A bump of a round, a breath of fresh air. I need maybe a little bit more. I do need probably like a one round pick bump, but it could be a third to a second. Like, doesn't have to be a second to a first. It's real close. As for HN and JT, who cares? Like, I wouldn't trade one of them for the other one in any scenario. I would never, like, if I have JT, I'm not going out and trying to get HN. If I have HN, I'm not trying to go out and get JT. So, yeah, I mean, same position, same expectation. I don't have a preference. Like, they're fine. However you want to rank them. If we want to have differences, you guys both want JT, HN, I'll go HN, JT.
The only reason I put JT above HN is because we know Indy wants there to be one running back. Like, when JT was hurt, it was just Moss the whole time. The second JT got back, it was just JT the second he was healthy. Like, and so I'll take that known over hoping HN gets the ball over Mostert. And that's literally all it is. And like, I could see them scoring similarly. I could even see a world where HN outscores Jonathan Taylor, but I'll still take my known quantity of volume from Jonathan Taylor.
I don't have a reason for why I would go HN. It was literally just because I don't care, but let's just say it's because Miami's more fun. I don't know. Just enjoy the Dolphins game. I enjoy watching that offense more. They're really just even to me. All right, that's running back, folks. This show has turned into a running back loving show. We just have to talk about the same three running backs every week. That's it.
We'll talk about it with Christian McCaffrey. Take a week off. Talk about Saquon. Take a week off. Talk about Bijan. Perfect. Take a week off, right back to Christian McCaffrey.
They always go running back over every other position. It's so weird.
Okay, but here's one that. I was always a very big Garrett Wilson fan with him coming into the league. And I loved that he was pretty much a top 12 wide receiver for me very quickly. We saw his play with very bad quarterback. And he, after his rookie year, got boosted to a top 10 wide receiver. And then last year happened where Aaron Rodgers made a triumphant 30-second debut for the Jets. And we have kept Garrett Wilson just ranked so highly because of the return of Aaron Rodgers being imminent. And it's happening, but
is that your dog?
That's you.
That's me?
Do you have a speaker or something? What decade is this?
I have no idea what that was. I heard it through my.
It was still making the noise.
Is it still going? I heard it through my earphone because I only have one in. This one doesn't work. So like, I only heard that on my right side.
And I think that that was like feedback or something from something. All right, well, 35 minutes.
Yeah, 35.
You probably got a text or a call.
I have my text off. I have sound off.
All right. So right now, Garrett Wilson is the wide receiver 6 in the Dynasty Trade Calculator. And I love the player, and I get it. We're getting, hopefully, somewhat good Aaron Rodgers quarterback play coming back. And that's awesome. But Garrett Wilson's worth the 103. Let's just go right into that. And at the 103, we're talking either Marvin Harrison Jr. or we're talking a quarterback, depending on how you think drafts go and all of that stuff. And I guess I'm just going to, do you think Garrett Wilson should be at the 106? And would you take Garrett Wilson or the 103?
I'm taking the 103 easily over Garrett Wilson. Like, that might get me Marvin Harrison Jr. There's a chance.
Yeah, I think 103 I go the pick, but 106 I go Wilson.
So 106 is possibly Neighbors. Did Neighbors go to a team that I like better than the Jets?
I mean, their chances that's
31 teams, so
as long as it's not the Manders, right? Like,
as long as it's not the Manders. Oh, man. I'm probably taking the 106 might not be Neighbors. If 105 is Neighbors,
6 is the Odunze Bowers, maybe.
Yeah,
he's drafted too early. So like, we're taking Neighbors off the board for this one.
106 feels way more fair. Like, the 103 just seems crazy.
I got at the very beginning, like right after the Super Bowl, I got the 103 for Garrett Wilson.
Nice.
And felt pretty great about it.
Yeah. I guess at the 106, I'll take Garrett Wilson. Because, I mean, I would love it if Odunze became Garrett Wilson. He could even be Garrett Wilson. So I'll just take Garrett Wilson. I very much like Garrett Wilson as well.
Yeah, same. He's kind of a just slam dunk hit, except for, you know, the quarterback situation. Like, but just like talent wise,
somewhat decently with complete trash at quarterback. Which is why I get the expectations of it. Real quick, so at the 103, are we assuming Marvin Harrison Jr. is number 1, 2, or 3?
I think in many leagues he might be number 2. Like, it'll probably go like Caleb Williams and then Marvin Harrison Jr.
I just need to know if I should take him off the list. Because
we obviously prefer him. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Garrett Wilson.
I think just the value. Yeah, people are gonna just most across the board probably just go with Marvin Harrison Jr. So
yeah. Plus, he's not going to be a Jet.
No. How bad would that be?
I would hate.
Jets traded up. Oh man.
If that was the case, they better just figure out a way to go get Justin Fields from Pittsburgh and send Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh and put Rodgers and Wilson on the same team. Then I might like the Jets a whole lot.
Yeah.
Just give me the whole Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah, I'm down. Clearly I'll take the 103 over Garrett Wilson. I've done it. When we hit the 105, like, am I going to talk again? Like, I get that Neighbors is, you know, an amazing prospect, and maybe if he does get taken by the Chargers at this point, I would absolutely take Neighbors over Wilson because he's Justin Herbert's wide receiver 1. But right now, I think I take Garrett Wilson a little bit over Neighbors just because, again, we've seen Garrett Wilson do well with garbage around him. And right now, they don't have another wide receiver around him. You know?
Whoa, Alan Lazard going to stop in and say hi. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, sheesh. That's a great joke.
Alan Lazard slander. Job. He's still on the team, right? Did they sell Randall Cobb too? Did they get
him? I wasn't even sure, which is why I didn't.
They have something called a Xavier Gibson with a P.
That's right, yeah, Gibson.
I legitimately don't know another pass catcher on that team right now. So that's like, and that means volume, right? Even if it's not, you know, great, you know, quality, but still. Let me get
Mike Williams, by the way. Sorry. I realized I was muted, but they also have Mike Williams.
Oh, that's right. They just got hashtag Team Clemson.
They solved their wide receiver problem. Oh, yes, they're set now.
Garrett Wilson's dropped. Never mind. So I have a very short list. And my list is Garrett Wilson, AJ Brown, and Puka Nacua.
So this is Puka, AJB, Garrett for me.
You said Puka, AJB, Garrett?
So yeah, said? I think so. Maybe AJB over Puka. But yeah, sure. Let's go Puka first. I think Puka's value is through the roof. So I would not be shocked if I could trade down from Puka and get Garrett Wilson plus a really nice piece, which is a move I'd love to do.
I'll go AJB, Garrett Wilson, Puka. And that's because I think Puka's value actually right now, and I've come around, and I think he's going to be very good for a long time. But I also think that the value has swung so far that it's like he's wide receiver 6 or 7. Or, let's see, 7 on the calculator overall, and I'm not sure that that holds for much longer. I think that's his absolute ceiling, and so for me, yeah, I'll go AJB. Garrett Wilson, Puka.
Yeah, so spoiler alerting what I was about to say. Garrett Wilson is actually the most valuable of the three in the calculator. Garrett Wilson, 36.6. Puka, 32.9. AJ Brown, 29. And I have the opposite order. I have AJ Brown, Puka, Garrett Wilson. And it's only because, man, we've seen Puka have a better season already. We know who his quarterback is. We've seen that Cooper Kupp is maybe second fiddle at this point, but we've also seen that they could both coexist at the same time. And there's going to be maybe 8 defenders on Garrett Wilson every single play, it seems like.
No. Mike Williams.
Right. Two for Breece Hall, one for Mike Williams.
Yeah.
I didn't forget, don't worry. So like that's really what surprised me here. Like I wanted to bring Garrett Wilson specifically, but then I came in and I saw that Puka and AJ Brown were below him, and my mind was blown on that one, especially AJ Brown, because it's not, there's 3 years difference in age. Garrett Wilson's 23, AJ Brown's 26. It's not like there's a 5-6 year difference in between the two of them, and AJ Brown has been doing anything we've ever dreamed Garrett Wilson can do.
Yeah, he's the best Titans receiver of all time.
I think this is the argument, though, for why Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't even belong on the list, though, because I don't think any of these three have the chance to get to the Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase tier.
AJ Brown's there for me already. That's why
AJ Brown, like,
I think he's below it now. CeeDee Lamb's above AJ Brown, I think.
Well, now yes, but like before last season.
Correct.
AJ Brown was my wide receiver 3. He is up there for me. He wasn't in the tier with Chase and Jefferson, but he was right below it. And he's still right below it for me. It's just that CeeDee Lamb and St. Brown both work their way into that top tier for me. But AJ Brown,
I don't think AJ Brown can work his way back into that top tier for me.
No.
But I think Marvin Harrison
Jr. that second tier, and I'm fine with that for another
Marvin season. Harrison Jr., it doesn't take much, and he becomes the wide receiver 1 in Dynasty.
Until he gets drafted by the Patriots.
I mean, if he gets drafted there, so it's over.
All right, we've got one other team that goes along with the Commanders and the Jets.
Yeah. No, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. Like, if he gets in a good spot and he comes out and has a few games, like, he's instantly – he becomes the wide receiver 1. That's just how it goes.
Could you imagine if he goes to play for Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers, and then they throw like 7 times a game?
But they're all to him. They're all to him, and he has 7 catches for 90 yards and a touchdown in his debut.
First off, it
feels up then.
The college football rub there is like, I mean, Harbaugh in Michigan and Marvin Harrison Jr. in Ohio State, like that just, That's not going to happen. Sorry I put that out there.
Yeah. No, he'll do it purposely just to hold him back. That's the long con.
Oh, that would be – it's like, you know, I'm going to leave college football so that I can go draft Marvin Harrison Jr. and ruin his career.
So I can keep beating
Ohio Tell me State. You don't think that he could be that vindictive.
I mean, he's a weird dude. I don't know.
All right, well, that is everything. So we are going to close down the floor of Dynasty Wall Street Russ Fisher, Dynasty Outhouse, John Bosch at FF underscore John B, Travis May at FF underscore Travis M. Ring the bell.